21. Still Life. Oil on Canvas. This part is hard for me. Harder than all the rest. But I will tell it because you need to know. When I awoke, it was early evening. I'd slept all day. But as I sat up, kicking my way free of the entangling sheets, I gave serious thought to lying back down. I could have slept a week more, so tired was I. Still, I was hungry, thirsty, and in sore need of a toilet, so I got up. Shiny, asleep beside me, didn't stir, even when I tripped over my discarded robe and cursed loudly. I supposed the magic had worn him out even more than it had me. In the bathroom, I took stock, having reached the conclusion that I was alive and had not been burned to a crisp. I felt fine, in fact, other than the tiredness and a bit of soreness here and there. More than fine. It struck me as I stood there rubbing my face. I was happy again. Perhaps for the first time since I'd left Shadow. Truly, completely, happy. So when the first tickle of cold air brushed my ankles, I barely noticed. Not until I left the bathroom and walked into a space of coldness so sharp and alien that it made me stop short, did I realize Shiny and I were not alone. There was only silence at first. Only a growing feeling of presence and immensity. It filled the bedroom, oppressive, making the walls creak faintly. Whatever had come to visit us, it was not human. And it did not like me, not one whit. I stood very still, listening. I heard nothing, and then something inhaled very near the back of my neck. "You still smell of him." Every nerve in my body screamed. I stayed silent only because fear had robbed me of breath. I knew who this was. I had not heard his approach, didn't dare speak his name, but I knew who he was. The voice behind me, soft, deep, malevolent, chuckled. "Prettier than I expected. Sia was right. You were a lucky find for him." A hand stroked my hair, which was a mess, the braid half undone. The finger that snaked out to graze the back of my neck was ice cold. I could not help jumping. But so delicate. So soft a hand to hold his leash. I was not surprised, not at all, when those long fingers suddenly gripped my hair, pulling my head back. I barely registered the pain. The voice, which now spoke into my ear, was a far greater concern. "Does he love you yet?" I could not process the words. What? "Does he?" The voice moved closer. "Love you." I should have felt his body by now, leaning against my shoulder, but there was only a feeling of stillness and cool, like midnight air. "Yet." The last word was so close to my ear that I felt the caress of his breath. I expected to feel his lips in the next instant. When I did, I would start screaming. I knew this as surely as I knew he would kill me when I did it. Before I could doom myself, however, another voice spoke from across the room. "That's not a fair question. How could she know?" This one was a woman, a cultured contralto, and I recognized her voice. I'd heard it a year before, in an alley, with the sense of piss and burned flesh and fear heavy in the air. The goddess Sia had called Mother. I knew now who she really was.
"It's the only question that matters," said the man.
He released my hair and I stumbled forward to a trembling halt, wanting to run and knowing there was no point. Shiny was not awake. I could hear him in the bed, still breathing slow and even. Something was very wrong with that. I swallowed.
"Do you prefer Yaina, lady? Or...
"Yaina will do." She paused, a hint of amusement in her voice. "Aren't you going to ask my companion's name?"
"I think I know it already," I whispered.
I felt her smile. "Still, we should at least observe the formalities. You are Ori Shoth, of course. Ori, this is Nahadoth." I made myself nod jerkily.
"Very nice to meet you both."
"Much better," said the woman. "Don't you think?" I didn't realize this wasn't directed at me until the man, not a man at all, replied. And I jumped again, because suddenly his voice was farther away, over near the bed.
I don't care.
Oh, be nice, the woman sighed.